Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. And it's spies, spies, everywhere, spies. Speaking of which, did you call your congressman last week and demand that Jonathan Pollard be released? Hi, I'm Hirschfeldin, your host, and you are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. Our parsha this week is all about spies. Hashem says, Shalach lecha, send for yourself spies to spy out the land. Why for yourself? Because if they really had a munah shlema, faith in the one above, why would they need to spy out the land? Well, some commentaries say that they simply wanted a natural way to see the best way, militarily, to take the land of Israel. And some say they wanted to see if they could actually do it. And sure enough, 12 spies went out and 10 of them returned with an evil report, telling the people there were giants and that their victory would not be a sure thing. But two spies, Caleb and Yehoshua, told the group not to listen to them. But the people started weeping and saying they'd rather return to Egypt. So God decrees that they'll wander 40 years in the desert till the old guard dies away. That's for the people that knew Egypt in servitude, and then he'll give them the land of Israel. So in this parsha also is the mitzvah of taking challah when making bread and to wear tzitzis or fringes on the male four-cornered clothing. And speaking of mitzvahs, our dedicated staff is here to bring you the best in Jewish radio. We have Musical Moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Ms. Devorah DeLint. So, sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. Of course, we'll have your community announcements and Mazel Tov, along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up on the half hour. Special guest today is Dr. Michael Shulman, a staff member of the JE and the international director of AskNoah.org, who was interviewed recently on Israel National Radio, our news partners. We'll have that interview coming up in the second half of our program. And don't forget to take time now to support Jewish Radio in Pittsburgh. You can sponsor your favorite segment each week. Just send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net or call us at 412-979-5770 and we'll let you in on all the details. Keep in mind, if you want to hear us on the air each week, and most of you do, you should write a check now and become a partner in this exciting endeavor. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson is sponsored by Rabbi Yisrael Zerlo, and this popular story segment is sponsored by Perfect Flooring. They take the showroom to you. Community news and announcements is sponsored by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. The popular Feminine Perspective and Rabbi Eisen's Moment in Jewish History is still available for sponsorship, so you want to call right now and reserve your spot. Remember, if you enjoy listening to our program, your financial support is critical to making this program available to you in your homes each and every week. Entire staff does work hard to bring you the best in Jewish programming, but we rely on your generous support. As always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, led by our own Musical Moishe, and Artistic Photography. Don't forget to ask for a special gift of a beautiful refrigerator magnet that is yours free when you call us at 412-979-5770 or send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. Now, we got candlelighting time this week is 8:30 p.m. So you can sit back and enjoy the best in Jewish music. And once again with us this week is your fascinating and exciting musical director. Here he is, Uncle Moishe.
Well, we're back here at the JE, another Friday afternoon, Erev Shabbos. I'm Moishe Pekar, your musical director. Here's the London School of Jewish Song by Yigal Salik. That's where I grew up. This one's entitled Step. You're tuned in and good to go. Right here on the J.E.
Right.
Rabbi Goldwasser's Parsha segment this week is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo in honor of the Refuah Shlema of Klal Yisrael for the healthy recovery of all the people of Israel. And now, our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
In this week's Parsha, Shalach Lecha, the Torah tells us how the spies that Moshe sent into Israel came back with a report that it would be impossible to take over the land. When the people heard this, they became very frightful and began to cry. We have to understand, why exactly were they afraid that they would not be able to enter into Israel? After all, they had Hashem's assurance that they would be victorious. We have to remember that these people who were living in the desert saw Hashem's miraculous salvation for them every single day. They ate mon, which fell from heaven. In fact, the bracha that they made before eating this mon was Hamotzi Lechem Min HaShomayim, who brings forth bread from the heaven. They drank water from the well of Miriam. The snakes that crawled around in the desert were killed miraculously through the clouds of glory and the ark that traveled with them. They also witnessed how Hashem destroyed the land of Egypt where they were slaves. They were the people who themselves walked across the Red Sea after Hashem split the waters. How was it possible then, when the spies came back, that they should actually now think that Hashem did not have the power to make them victorious? The answer is that the Jewish people realized that Hashem would be able to make them successful. However, they were told that when they went into the land of Israel, their daily order would change drastically. Instead of learning Torah with Moshe Rabbeinu, secluded in the desert, every day, instead, they would have to live a natural life. They would need to go out, plow the land, and harvest the crop, and be involved in earthliness. They felt if this would be their involvement during the day, it would necessarily tear them away from their bond with Hashem. And this is what they meant when they said they could not go into the land. They felt it would be a certainty that they would go away from their attachment with Hashem. What was their mistake? Their mistake was that their whole time that they were in the desert was only a preparation for their eventual going into the land of Israel. Hashem put us here in a natural physical world where there are many obstacles and temptations, and our job is to bring the godly light down here in the physical world, to transform the physical by utilizing all of the world's resources to serve Hashem. In this way, we make the physical world a godly world. We will see in the time of Moshiach the physical world, and we will see the godliness that is invested in the physical world as a result of the mitzvos that we have done during our stay here on earth before Moshiach.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for? What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for The Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time. And it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. Now it's time for A Moment in Jewish History with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
Although Jewish legend has Jews arriving in Spain at the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash some 2,400 years ago, or even during the reign of King Solomon close to 3,000 years ago, historians feel that they arrived at the time of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash about 1,900 years ago. Indeed, a 3rd century gravestone has been found in Spain bearing the unmistakably Jewish name Salomonula. Until the 5th century, Spain was under Roman rule, and conditions for Jews were benign. However, the situation changed drastically with the Visigoth conquest, which brought strict Christian rule to Spain. In the 7th century, the Visigoths decreed that all Jewish children must be raised as Catholics, and in an ominous portent of events 900 years in the future, declared that only Catholics might reside in Spain. Plans were made to confiscate the Jews' property and sell them into slavery. However, a providential event took place that dramatically changed the course of Jewish history. The Moorish Arabs conquered Spain in 711, bringing a welcome respite for the Jews. While the Muslims swept through Spain with ease, driving the Christians in a headlong retreat into the northern mountains, the Moors committed a fatal mistake when they did not completely expel the Christians from Spain. Brooding in their mountain redoubts, the Christians planned the Holy Reconquista, or reconquest of Spain for Christianity. For hundreds of years, this vision was tenaciously transmitted to successive generations. Over an 800-year period, the Christians slowly drove the Muslims from the land, culminating with the conquest in 1492 of Granada, the last Arab stronghold. The Golden Age of Spanish Jewry, from 950 to 1150 CE, under tolerant Arab rule, the Jews of Spain entered into an era of splendor, both spiritually and materially. As the Muslim conquerors needed help in administering their new land, they eagerly sought Jewish expertise in both commerce and governance. In addition, the Arabs shared a love of learning with the Jews, which manifested itself in the fields of philosophy, medicine, mathematics, astronomy, and poetry. While Christian Europe sank into the Dark Ages, Muslim Spain developed into a modern pluralistic society where all beliefs were tolerated. Sophisticated cities were built featuring paved streets, piped water, and exquisite gardens and palaces. Cordova, Toledo, and Granada became major centers of learning, where mathematicians, scientists, and poets perused scholarly volumes in world-class libraries. Given both freedom and riches, Spain rapidly became the largest Jewish community in the world. Spanish Jewry produced dazzling Torah scholars, poets who wrote some of the most inspiring sacred pieces of the liturgy, philosophers whose writings remain as classic as when they were written, and grammarians who laid down the basic rules of Hebrew. In the secular realm, Jews became diplomats, generals, prime ministers, scientists, and secular poets. Sadly, the Golden Age came to a halt in 1147, when fanatic Almohad Muslims invaded Spain from North Africa. To avoid being offered a choice between conversion to Islam or death, many Jews fled to the Christian north of Spain. So great was Jewish life in Spain that such a favorable climate for Jews would not exist again until the 20th century United States. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen wishing you a happy and healthy Shabbos.
This week's news segment is brought to you by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. When your requirements call for replacement windows or glass block, call Ed at 412-848-2262. That's 412-848-2262.
Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
With Syria threatening war if Israel does not open talks for the return of the Golan Heights, an overwhelming 84% of the Israeli public opposes returning the strategic area liberated during the Six-Day War 40 years ago, according to a Ma'ariv Daily Telesecher poll. Two camps within that group, one with 44% opposes any Israeli withdrawal, the remaining 40% support a partial withdrawal. 74% of those surveyed said they do not believe Syrian President Bashar al-Assad when he says he wants peace. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says he will ask for another six-month extension of the 33-year-old mandate for the 1,000-member UN observer force on the Golan Heights. The Secretary General has expressed shock and dismay at the latest anti-Israeli outburst by Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, Ban citing Israel as a full and long-standing member of the United Nations with the same rights and obligations as every other member. The four members of the Shas Council of Torah Sages instructing the party's 12 members of Knesset to vote for Vice Premier Shimon Peres for president next month over party chairman Eli Yishai's preference for former Knesset Speaker Reuven Rivlin, the Likud lawmaker not giving up. Ahead of Tuesday's runoff to replace Defense Minister Amir Peretz as chairman of the Labor Party, former Prime Minister Ehud Barak and Knesset member Ami Ayalon are running neck and neck. A Thursday poll for Voice of Israel Government Radio giving Barak the support of 46.5% of the respondents, with Ayalon receiving 45.3%. Peretz has backed Ayalon, and the other two losing contenders in the primaries are supporting Barak. Arabs in the PLO-assigned areas are increasingly relieved that the army is attacking terrorists who have turned the Gaza region and parts of Judea and Samaria into a sea of anarchy. The Reuters news agency quoting a Gaza housewife, "It's very ironic, but I'm relieved that Israelis have started a bombing campaign." Fatah legislator and former terrorist leader Nasser Juma charging that terrorists, in his words, have blackmailed people, attacked them, and confiscated their freedoms as the weak official security forces failed to punish them. He added that rank-and-file Arabs, in his words, now wish the Israeli occupation would take over in Gaza or hope for the return of Jordanian rule in the West Bank. An Israeli military source says Islamic Jihad terrorists in Gaza are probably to blame for firing two rockets at Israeli civilians in Sderot early Friday morning. The rockets missed their intended victims and landed in open areas near the southern town. Israel National Radio with a special six-hour live broadcast from Sderot starting at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon Israel time. An Islamic Jihad terrorist has died of wounds suffered in an exchange of gunfire with Israeli soldiers in Gaza. Another terrorist managed to escape. Hamas says Fatah gunmen opened fire on worshippers in a Gaza mosque Friday morning. PLO sources say a member of Fatah's presidential guard has been kidnapped. The Matot Arim City Headquarters Council is encouraging a public campaign intended to convince the Justice Ministry to close 1,000 court proceedings against activists who fought the 2005 uprooting of Jews from Gaza. The cases all involve minor criminal charges against Orange activists who participated in demonstrations during the disengagement. Matot Arim claims that the human and financial resources poured into the prosecution of these cases. Matot Arim claims that the human and financial resources poured into the prosecution of the cases would be better used to fight traffic accidents. None of the cases involve physical injury, according to the council. The Center for Local Authorities has announced that schools will strike in 60 towns next Wednesday. The strike in protest of a planned budget cut of approximately 150 million shekels that will affect schools in the Negev, Galilee, and Central regions. Local authorities have also decided not to begin the school year next year in towns affected by the cut. The center will request the government cancel the budget cuts, which school officials say will cause 1,500 teachers to be fired, the Supreme Court delaying a government move to make the dismissals immediate. Retired Supreme Court Justice Michel Cheshen taking the side of Attorney General Menachem Mazuz and attacking Justice Minister Daniel Friedman over his plan to change the way the Attorney General is nominated. Friedman has suggested that the head of the committee that selects the Attorney General be a former Attorney General or a former Justice Minister, not a retired Supreme Court judge, as is the situation today. Shabbat is Kaf Gimel of the 23rd of Sivan on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast clear to partly cloudy and cooler than normal in the mountains, with a high wave warning at Mediterranean beaches on Friday, a noticeable rise in temperatures on Shabbat with Sharab heat and wind conditions Sunday morning, a significant drop in temperature on Monday. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
As we get further away from Shavuos and on into the summer, guess what's ramping up here in this month, and that's the Mazel Tovs as we almost close out the month of Sivan. Gary Butler, son of Danny and Nina, grandson of Sylvia Butler, upon his recent graduation from the NYU School of Law. And Talia Seidman, who's elected the regional president of NCSY. Mr. and Mrs. Ephraim Weingarten on the birth of a son. Mr. and Mrs. Gershon and Cindy Gutman on the birth of a grandson. Of course, Mrs. Rita Unger on the birth of a great-grandson. And Rabbi and Mrs. Isser and Sue Ann Pliner, remember them? On the marriage of a daughter, Hannah, to Akiva Horowitz. And Mrs. Marcia Superbubby Robkin on the marriage of a granddaughter. Rabbi and Mrs. Shimon and Chani Silver on the birth of a grandson. And finally, Uriel and Helen Backrack and family on the bar mitzvah of their son, Yehoshua. And a great mazel tov out to everybody. We should only be together for more and more and more simchas all the time till we turn Tisha B'Av into a great day of dancing with the coming of Mashiach. And speaking of other events we need, if Mashiach doesn't come, the community Pirkei Avos, God forbid, the community Pirkei Avos class for women will occur throughout the community and area synagogues in memory of Mrs. Miriam Nadoff. Young Israel is also having a yard sale this Sunday from 9:30 to 2 at 5831 Bartlett Street. There are great bargains. Please mark the date, Jewish Community Day at Kennywood, Sunday, August 26th. And more details are going to follow. The meeting of food addicts in Recovery Anonymous meets at Sherry Torah every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. Program is not for women only. Men are invited. So for more information, I think there is a mechitza, though. Call Hillel at 412-422-2224. If you'd like to have your mazel tovs on our program, you can do it. Call us at 412-979-5770 or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And don't forget, candlelighting time this week is 8:30 p.m. In place of our normal interview segment this week, Dr. Michael Shulman was interviewed by Israel National Radio's Tovia Singer. Here's an excerpt from that interview.
Singer here, Israel National Radio. Joining me right now is Dr. Michael Shulman. He is the director of AskNoah.org. Dr. Shulman, welcome to Israel National Radio.
Thank you so much. Shalom, Tovia.
I want to just begin by asking you this question. How did you come upon devoting your life to helping the non-Jewish people around the world to have help them learn about the seven Noahide laws? How did you come into this?
As a chassid and learning Hasidic philosophy, you learn that there is a godliness in everything in creation. And there is the godliness in every single human being, which is waiting to be brought out. And that's actually a requirement upon the Jewish people to strive to bring out and reveal that godliness as our role within the creation. And I found out that the outreach for the seven laws of Noah, it does exactly that.
Dr. Shulman, you were on the show 2 years ago speaking about AskNoah.org, which you direct. What, over the last 2 years, what developments have occurred? How has this website, which serves thousands of people around the world, how has it evolved since then?
First of all, with the website address, we were waiting for about 7 years to be able to get the address asknoah.com. Finally, just about 2 months ago, we were able to get that address, so now that has increased the traffic to the site. But in terms of actual outreach, a lot has been accomplished. We have done a lot with our United Noahide Academies program, with online courses, which mostly Gentiles enroll in and learn about the Noahide laws and about the foundations of the Torah faith. And we have just launched a new discussion forum on the site, and I think that's going to attract a lot of activity. And there are the individual success stories of connecting with individuals, helping to form groups, and even on a romantic level, couples meet, they both get interested in the Noahide laws, they want to have a Noahide wedding service, and we've gotten in contact with the expert rabbis on how that can be accomplished. So there's many things. Another aspect, if you recall, there was the tragic case of the woman in Georgia who was disconnected from her feeding tube, and so that generated a lot of interest in living wills. And, of course, there are halachic issues, Torah law issues, that relate almost equally to Jews and non-Jews. So I have had Gentiles writing in wanting to have a rabbi listed on their living will as the expert to contact in case of, God forbid, an emergency. So these are all things that are bringing the Noahide laws into a practical part of everyday life for many people.
For many people, is a pathway ultimately to convert the Jewish faith rather than remain in the status of a Gentile who is devoted to God. Is that true?
Well, it goes both ways. There are some people who become attracted and attached to Judaism through the process of learning about their obligations within Torah as a Gentile. But then there are other people who thought that Judaism was their only alternative to lead a life that's pleasing to the one God, but they were daunted by the requirements. And also, there are family issues. People might be already married and they wouldn't want to split up the marriage, or they might find that they're tied down in a particular community and they don't want to sever their social relationships. So people who were struggling with the idea of conversion have found that the Noahide laws really satisfy their spiritual need. So it does go both ways, and I think, from my experience, that actually it probably reduces the number of people who convert and then have second thoughts and wish that they hadn't.
What is the question you are asked most frequently from Righteous Gentiles?
I would say that a very frequent question, and a very powerful question, is they want to know, what is the basis of all this? You're telling me I have seven laws. You're telling me there are certain details. What's the basis of it? And it comes down to, as you and I, as Orthodox Jews know, it's part of the oral tradition. It's part of the oral law that explains the details of the seven laws. I have people writing in and saying, how do I know that the oral tradition is reliable? And to you and I, that sounds like a very funny thing to ask, but you have to work through with them to show how things are based in Torah Shebal Peh, oral Torah, handed down from Moses from God at Sinai. And the non-Jewish religions have a built-in animosity towards the oral tradition, and that has to be broken down, and some people can get around it and some can't.
But I can't think of any of the seven Noahide laws that would come as a surprise to any righteous Gentile seeking to connect with God. I mean, the commandment of morality to worship the one God of Israel and no other. I mean, once you go through the seven Noahide laws, this all becomes very clear. I don't think you get opposition at that point. Am I right?
Well, the question becomes, where do you draw the line for someone who picks up the written Torah and begins to read? Because you can get someone who opens up the Torah and says, don't mix meat and milk. And they'll say, well, maybe if I, as a Gentile, will eat a cheeseburger, I'll be incurring God's wrath. And then you have to explain to them, well, no, that doesn't apply to Gentiles, and there's nothing wrong with you're eating at your pleasure as long as you are not being cruel to animals in the process of slaughter.
Right.
But then they want to know, well, then why do you have all these laws? And so that's part of the oral Torah, and so that's what has to be explained, that there is a difference between Jews and non-Jews.
I think that some listeners are saying, wow, only seven commandments on a Gentile. There are 613 commandments on a Jew. That's an enormous disparity. I think a point that's often misunderstood is that these seven Noahide laws are not specific individual laws, but seven categories of law, and within each of these laws, there are multiple sub-laws, which I think amount to individual laws of these seven major categories.
The commandments of the Torah, which we call mitzvos, really come from the wisdom of God. And just as God is infinite, so is his wisdom infinite. And so when you start to delve into this, you see many details, many practical cases. And in terms of looking at halachas, it is, I would say, nearly as endless for the B'nai Noach as it is for the Jews in terms of what do you do in a specific situation if this and this happens. And so that's why there are basic principles to be learned and basic sources to be recognized. And then from that, the rabbis and the Noahide, as they learn more and more, of course, the Noahide who becomes a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar in his own Noahide laws, is considered to be like a Kohen Gadol, a high priest in his level. So there is really no end to the study and the depth of it, and of course when Mashiach comes, that's what we'll all be doing. We'll all be learning the wisdom of God, each within his own realm.
Keeping the laws of the Sabbath, that's something that you don't do. That's only for the Jewish people. It says in Exodus 31, it's Bein Yuvein Bnei Israel, it's between God and Israel. But do you find that Gentiles wanting in some way to commemorate the Sabbath, to commemorate these festivals in honoring God by saying, thank you, God, for redeeming the Jewish people from Egypt? Do you find there's an interest in some level of commemoration?
Yes, that's definitely true, and that's definitely available. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah makes it very clear that there are many of the Jewish commandments which a Gentile can take on if he's doing it within the context of a Torah-based faith, and if he's doing it for the sake of the reward that he will get for this interest that he's showing. And there are just certain boundaries that have to be respected, which one of those is the aspect of the Sabbath, which is for Jews to refrain from the 39 categories of labor. So if a Gentile wants to honor the Sabbath by making a special meal, by lighting candles, there's nothing in the halakhas which say that can't be done. And in fact, that's one of the options that are open to them if they want to develop their spirituality in that direction.
Last question. What's your goal in the Noahide movement over the next decade or two?
Well, I would like to see the Noahide movement centered around the Noahides being able to make the pilgrimage to the Third Holy Temple. And I think that there's a lot to accomplish in whatever few moments we have till that comes. But definitely the spreading of the Noahide movement and the growth of the Noahide communities is going to contribute and probably bring us over whatever bar has been set in order that should happen. And that's really the goal, and nothing else is going to be satisfying at this point. Well, there's always going to be more and more to accomplish until the actual coming of the righteous Redeemer.
Well, very well said, Dr. Michal Shimon. The website address is asknoah.org and also asknoah.com. All the information is there. Michal, thank you so much for your work. Thank you for joining us here on Israel National Radio.
Dear Mr. President, as a believer in the Bible, you know that the Jewish people were given the land of Israel not because of a UN declaration, but because of a declaration from God. The Bible says God owns the world. There is room for everyone, but he promised Israel to his chosen people, hence the name, the Promised Land. As you are aware, Mr. President, the Bible stipulates that the eternal boundaries of this promised land includes everything west of the Jordan River. So to suggest now that a Palestinian state be carved from the West Bank and Gaza, land specifically included in God's promise, is wrong. It's time for America, one nation under God, to support the entire land of Israel. Because the promised land was promised forever. Sincerely yours, believersofthebible.org.
Well, on with the show here. Let's get some music going. Here's Avram Rosenberg's Tzelel V'Zimra Boys Choir and Kol Yisroel.
Take a look at the feminine side of things with the feminine perspective. Here's Miss Devorah DeLynn.
Sometimes it seems that our world today is falling into an etiquette decline. People disrespect their elders, they steal, and they cheat without any guilt, and the morality level has fallen below zero. However, you can take to heart in the fact that there are places where one of the most important life lessons, the imperative thank you, is not forgotten. In the front page of a book, there are always acknowledgments. At the end of a movie, you always find credits. At the end of a speech, you'll be sure to hear thank yous. People realize that their product is a result of somebody else's handiwork, and they correctly remember to thank them. The only problem is that they say this in certain areas where it is absolutely, and of course, legally necessary to say thanks. Lucky for us, Hashem gave us the Torah, and in it, he told us that we must be careful to say thank you all the time. In this week's Parsha, Parshas Shlach, we learn the pasuk of Bichol Zirachecha Da'ehu, in all your ways you should know him. Everything a person does, from taking out the garbage to the biggest corporate meeting, a person has to recognize who put him there and give thanks. In every aspect of our life, there are rules. Rules about dressing, rules about eating, rules, rules, rules. It seems as though we are restricted, God forbid. But to think this way is taking a very narrow-minded and selfish point of view. In truth, the rules are there to keep us on track, and more importantly, to remind us to give thanks to Hashem all the time. How so? Well, when you bake a cake and have to check the egg for blood, or you go shopping and have to set aside a shirt that's a little bit too tight, you are reminded, however subconsciously, that your very existence stems directly from the Creator of the world, whose laws you follow, and who wouldn't want to thank Hashem for that. If you are ever listening to some Jews talking, you'll probably hear this expression, Baruch Hashem, thrown around a lot. Literally, this means, blessed is Hashem, but it is used as an acknowledgement, as a thank you. See, someone says, oh, how are you? A person will say, I'm fine, Baruch Hashem. There are even those who will say Baruch Hashem when something bad happens because they know that Hashem has a plan for all of us, and they are thanking him for taking the time and the attention necessary in the maintenance of the world. There's a story of a rich merchant who was careful with the mitzvot in every way, except that he forgot to give credit to Hashem. The heavenly court got angry with this boastful behavior and decided to test the man to see if he deserved his wealth. One week, the merchant set out to the fair in the next village when he saw an old man and offered to give him a ride. The man agreed and then asked whether the merchant had said Tfilas HaDerech, the prayer for a safe journey, and the merchant replied that he hadn't since he hoped to get there in a few hours. The man looked at him and reminded him that he should say, and he hoped to get there, God willing, in a few hours. The merchant didn't reply, and they continued along when suddenly the wagon wheel broke, and the merchant began to complain that the old man was a schlamazel, he was bringing bad fortune. The old man climbed down and politely said, when someone starts out on a journey, they should remember to ask Hashem for a safe one. The next week, the merchant set out to the market on foot when he saw the old man again. The man inquired as to his health, and the merchant replied he was fine. The old man said, you are fine, thank God. The man asked how the business was in the past week, and the merchant replied that he had not made it to the fair, but brought double the money with him to make up for it. The old man said, with God's help, you should make up for it. The merchant said, fine, but I have the money right here. What's there to doubt? He continued on to the fair, chose his merchandise, and went to pay, only to find that his purse and all the money in it was missing. It suddenly dawned on him what the old man had been trying to tell him. No matter how good a wagon you have, no matter how much money or how cunning a businessman, one has to put their faith in God, who really gives a person their livelihood. The next week, he sat in his wagon, and he saw a young boy to whom he offered a ride. The boy asked him if he was going to the fair, and the merchant answered, "Yes, God willing, I plan to buy some oxen." After making his purchases, he tied the oxen to the wagon and started back home. All of a sudden, the cord snapped, and one of the animals broke free. "Stay here," he cried to the boy while running after the ox. Deep in the woods, the ox stopped abruptly, right over the purse full of money that the merchant had lost the week before. When the merchant returned to the wagon, he found everything was the same, except that the boy had vanished. The merchant now realized that the boy and the old man were one and the same. The famed Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the prophet, who had come to teach him the importance of giving thanks to Hashem. Have a good Shabbos.
Exactly how I'd like for it to be, but I have a certain feeling Hashem is watching me. I won't let fears and worries steal the joy out of my day. Just think positive and problems melt away. Stop, don't think about it. Be thankful every day.
Rabbi Goldwasser's story segment is brought to you by Perfect Flooring, 412-551-1697. Yitzchak Chico Kadosh says, "We bring the showroom to you." Call 412-551-1697 for Perfect Flooring. And now, our renowned storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
The Baal Shem Tov had a brother-in-law, Reb Gershon. He once sent Reb Gershon the following letter. "I have become aware that you have insulted one of the great rabbis who live in Israel. As a result, you were to suffer a very serious punishment. However, I have been able to intercede for you, and your punishment is now reduced to 1 month of blindness. When Reb Gershon received this letter, he sent the following letter back to the Baal Shem Tov. Everything you have written in this letter is true. What amazes me is how is it possible that you knew this? Because I see from the date of your letter that you had written this letter before these events actually occurred. The Baal Shem Tov explained that at one point he had Aliyas HaNeshama. His Neshama, his soul, rose up to the higher worlds. And in the higher worlds, what takes place in the course of many months or even many years can be seen in one instant. And it is this way how the Baal Shem Tov knew what was going to take place. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you a good Shabbos.
As we wrap up another exciting edition of the Jewish Experience radio program, a couple of events. The community Pirkei Avos classes is still going on throughout the community in memory of Mrs. Miriam Madoff. Young Israel having a yard sale this Sunday from 9:30 to 2 p.m. at 5831 Bartlett Street for great bargains. Mark the date, Community Day at Kennywood Park, August 26th. Meeting of Food Addicts Recovery Anonymous, Shari Torah, every Sunday evening. Call Ilana, 412-422-2224. And if you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, call us at 412-979-5770 or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And we'd like to thank our special guest today, Dr. Michael Shulman, for sharing his recent interview with Israel National Radio. He is the international director of AskNoah.org. And, of course, our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Shulman, Ms. Devor DeLynn, and our creative engineer, Jeremy Lee Mossenstini, for a another outstanding show. Don't forget Candlelighting Time, 8:30 p.m. It's been a lot of fun, but I do have to run. Until next week, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat.
Shalom. Shabbat. Shalom. Malachi Elyon, Mimelech.